on behalf of Bishop Bill Tesh, all of our staff and the Northwest Minnesota Synod, roster leader Sams, and disciples of Christ in this synod, greetings in the name of our risen one. Thank you for having me today to be a part of the incredible faith communities up here in Roseau, here at Mo. You are well known in our synod as a shining light of faithful community that gathers. We are so blessed by your rostered leaders, the Swangers, and by great Sams like Jay at Brent and Brett and many others who do some pulpit supply and are the church in this area. We're thankful for your partnership in ministry throughout the synod. You have hosted events here where we've gathered communities together here in the Northern Border Conference. And I have had my office right here in this little space while I'm up here doing ministry, housing me with some good coffee and great conversation. Thank you for your offerings to the Synod. They make a huge difference, and just one I want to lift up. Some people say, what do you do with the money that we send you? One of the things that we do is we offer grants, seminary reduction grants for our new pastors. If you're in your first 10 years, you can apply to our Synod for a grant to pay down your seminary debt. And last year, we had over 10 applications, and each of them got $8,000. That is dollars for dollars that you give, that we give away, so that we can retain young pastors in our synod and actually recruit them, because the word is on the street that our synod is this generous. And even if you're not receiving a pastor that way, our synod gets how important it is to recruit people and take care of them. And so gifts like that is where your money goes, and so we thank you for your partnership. It means the world, and thanks again for having me. Now to our lesson. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Here we are in the Easter season, people of God, and we hear from John's Gospel. And I added these few verses because I can't hear the scripture without understanding how John sets this up to understand that you and I have permission and maybe even an invitation to continue living out God's story of love for all of creation. In chapter 20, it says, now Jesus did many other signs that aren't recorded here. And again, at the very end of John's Gospel in 21, say, you know, there's so many that if they were written down, the world couldn't even hold all the volumes of stories about how God is at work in our lives. So I want to ask you this morning, what is your favorite Jesus story? Do you have a favorite one that comes to mind? Anyone want to shout it out? That's a good one. Cries. Feeding the 5,000. Yes, great one. And Road to Emmaus, very popular Jesus story. Mm-hmm. Yep, so many to pick from. You can't go wrong. Four Gospels, hold them all, plus all the epistles. Yes, Mary and the well. What a beautifully rich interaction. Mm-hmm. Others? I would expect to hear some fishing stories, huh? Like those? Some may be on their way this morning to do such things with Jesus. Now I want you to think about your own story with Jesus. So many are written in this book, but what about you? What's your favorite interaction with Jesus? Because here we are in this Easter season. We just celebrated that God raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus is out and about, alive and well in our lives. What's your story? Maybe it has to do with a baptism. We'll have one today, and we remember our own baptisms when we have baptism. Maybe it's your first communion when Jesus feeds you. With Christ himself, like my mom would say, you kids get up to the altar rail. You need Jesus back in your life. Yeah, we probably did. You know, maybe for you, it's Bible camp, having an experience with Jesus. For some of you, it was confirmation time, learning about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit with your classmates. And some weddings have been transformational. But mostly it's stories about serving your neighbor. Stories about feeding and sheltering people. when there's a fire in your community that your community raises up and helps a family that you don't necessarily know, but you know if it was your family, you would want people to reach out to you. You might not know me, but you might know my son Jake. You prayed for him after he was in a near-fatal car accident as a 16-year-old last August, and the power of prayer has transformed our family. What is your story with Jesus? Because our lives matter too. And the book of life is continually to be written through your lives and mine. And people are watching and curious and wondering what this whole church life is all about. But you continue to write the pages of this good book, this good news of Jesus Christ in your lives and in your actions. And it's all rooted in knowing and receiving God's love. And this is where we find ourselves at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 21, another fishing story. Just love these stories. And this is an important fishing story because it's after God raised Jesus from the dead. Okay? Many of the other fishing stories are at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, but this one is after Easter, after God raised Jesus from the dead. And I focused in, you read along with me, this little exchange between Jesus and Peter that talks about God's love. Starting in verse 15, Jesus presses Peter on his capabilities and ability and knowledge and his understanding of love. And if Peter loves Jesus, then he's called to do something. Simon, son of John, so we know exactly who Jesus is talking about. Do you love me? And Peter says, yes. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, feed, tend, and feed. People of God, if Jesus asked us this question, do you love me? We would say, yes. Yes, Lord, you know that we love you. But what does tending and feeding look like today? I'm going to get real personal with you, and for those on the radio, here we go. These stories in the end of John's Gospel convict me. This scripture sometimes, as a professor of professing my faith and my love of Jesus, sometimes I get caught complaining to my friends and family, especially who are outside the church. Why do I do this? I don't know. You think I would learn at this point in our life. About what my tending abilities sometimes look like. My actions, sometimes they let me know, don't really reflect what they think I should be doing as a follower and lover of Jesus. Jesus finds me, and these are all true stories, in my daily living, being a part of God's community of faith that worships on a regular basis and says, Janelle, do you love me? And I say, yes, Lord. And then I leave and I talk to my friends about how frustrated I was with how many hours last month we spent talking about the color of the carpet in the narthex where I worship. And Jesus has to find me again. He says, Janelle, do you love me? And I say, yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. And then my actions find me in the kitchen wondering if I should cut the pickles for the funeral in squares or in slices to best serve the people. And I'm frustrated by how to tend to these caring, loving people who've just lost their loved one. And Jesus finds me again and says, Janelle, do you love me? I say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And yet when I'm out for supper talking to my non-church friends, I wonder out loud with them if I can really tolerate those who sit in the pews with me who are on the other side of the political spectrum as me, wondering if I can have authentic worship when our sign says, all are welcome. Do my actions and my stories, is this what I want written in the book of life about tending and feeding God's flock? I don't. That's not what I want to be known for. But honestly, I have to look hard in the mirror and actually have this reflection with some of my friends to help me stay on topic for exactly why Jesus was born and died and rose again at Easter. Maybe this isn't the tending and the feeding Jesus had in mind for me. And I'm not saying these actions are bad. They're real experiences that I had, but it's not the legacy of following Jesus that I want to be a part of. It's convicting, and it's no wonder why Jesus has to continue to find me and ask me the same darn question over and over. In my synod work, I get to go all over Northwest Minnesota Synod and have conversations with people. And a lot of them outside the church are curious about what us church folks are doing. They're wondering about what goes on in the churches and if they want to be a part of some kind of establishment. And I'm inspired that they actually are interested in what we do in worship. What is that about? I'm not really sure what this liturgy is. And we have conversations about that. They want to read the Bible, but probably like you remember too, it's like, where do you get started? How do you start reading the Bible? They want to learn to pray. Pray for themselves and pray for those who are suffering around them, but they're not really sure what that experience is supposed to be like. Like, how do you know that you're praying? What does that feel like? And the majority of people throughout our synod want to find a way, an avenue, a pathway to serve the neighbor. They want to make an impact. They want to make a difference in their community, but they're not really sure if through the church is the way to do that. And this convicts me again. When I think about sometimes the stories that I talk about when I leave my own church, as a professor, professing my love for Jesus, a follower of Jesus, and if I'm talking about the carpet and pickles and politics, I've probably missed the boat. I'm not focused on the story of tending and feeding that Jesus is talking about here. And that's the story I want to be known. That's the story I want to share. Could it be as simple as doing these things, worship, reading the Bible, praying and serving the neighbor? Is that what tending can look like? Because if that's the case, it's so simple, and it's what we do on a regular basis. And these are the ways that actually then God unites us and God feeds us and claims us in baptism, and it's what Jesus died for. And even though I just admitted to you, to stay on track, Jesus has to find me and ask me this question again. Janelle, do you love me? Probably multiple times a day, keep me on track. I do feel Peter's annoyance sometimes in Scripture that he says, like, come on, Lord, a third time you're asking me the same question. But I want to share with you a little gem that happens in this third question that Jesus asks. We miss it in the English translation. Jesus has been asking Peter, do you love me in a fondness? Philo is the word, a fondness. Do you love me fondly? And Peter says yes. And the third time, Jesus changes the word love to agape. Do you love like God loves, Peter? And here's the heart of the matter for me. Jesus is encouraging me, inviting me, commanding me to try to love like God loves. Wow. That is a major challenge and a key to the identity of the legacy that I want to live. Can you love like God loves, Simon Peter? Can you love like God loves, Janelle Netland? Can you love people at Mo like God loves? And when we say yes, we are willing to try it out, Lord. Then our tending and our feeding need to be simply reflective of who we're called to be as people of God. And we worship, and we read Scripture, and we pray, and we sing, and we serve. Because that life is rooted in knowing and receiving God's love. Do you love me? Jesus asked. Yes, Lord. You know that we love you. So fill us with your love. That's where it all starts. That's what coming to worship does for me. It fills my God love tank, which is somewhere in here, and fills that up so I can be sent out through these doors and out into a community to try to shine God's love to others so that I can leave this place with my words and my actions looking like tending and feeding God's world. And these are the stories that continue to be written in the book of life that share the good news that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and has made a difference in our lives and the lives of all creation. So may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.